vote your wishes through. So much for honest government. Shame on you, Mr. President. Many in your own party are embarrassed and have distanced themselves from you. In order to be a successful leader, or even a successful person, one must never underestimate the intelligence of the people. You have not yet learned that lesson, and time is running out for you. If you are not impeached within the near future, you may still have time to become a fair leader for all of us. Is that possible? Time will tell, but I doubt it. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Thank you, Kay, and thank you for keeping it tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Monday, October 25th, 2010. I'm Dave Michaels with traffic and weather for you. We'll start off with traffic since there's not that much to report on. Only one incident on our side of the hill. This is out in Monterey County. Old Stage Road just north of Zabala Road, a traffic collision with no injuries reported at 12:15. Looks like a vehicle versus a fence out there. On the other side of the hill, several incidents to report, none of them very serious, though our first northbound 17 just north of Los Gatos Saratoga Road, a traffic hazard reported at 104. Looks like we have some tire debris in the number one lane out there. A disabled vehicle on the right-hand shoulder, northbound 680 on the northbound Jackson Avenue off-ramp, that was reported at 1258. And northbound 101 at De La Cruz Boulevard, a traffic hazard reported at 1254. Looks like a box in between the number two and three lanes. Traffic at the Fishhook moving at the limit in both directions. Your KSCO weather forecast for tonight is for mostly clear conditions with lows in the mid-40s to lower 50s, along with northwest winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Your forecast for tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs in the 60s, along with northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour once again. And your boaters forecast for this evening, northwest winds 10 to 20 knots, decreasing to 10 knots after midnight, wind waves 2 to 4 feet, and west swells 5 to 7 feet every 14 seconds. Outside KSCO Studios, it's currently 65 degrees. The time is now 1:08. Coming up next, hour number 2 of the Dr. Corey Gold Show.
Good afternoon. It's time now for the Dr. Corey Gold radio program on KSCO. If you'd like to participate in today's program, call us at 831-479-1080. That's 479-1080. Here now is your host for today's show, Dr. Corey Gold.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening in, Dr. Corey Gold. Glad to be with you on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Thanks to Alex Jones for being my guest during the last hour here. We've been talking about Alex Jones appearing here in Santa Cruz for the last couple weeks on KSCO. He spoke to a sold-out crowd of over 800 last night at the Coconut Grove. He'll be doing that again tonight, over 800 more people watching him tonight at the Coconut Grove. And with him last night were a couple of surprise speakers. And we didn't know they'd be there. We're glad they were there. And they're going to be with us here for the next hour. One of which is Arizona Sheriff Richard Mack. And the other one is ex-IRS agent Joe Bannister. Joe's been a guest on the show before. We'll start off with Richard Mack. And by the way, if you want to call in for either Sheriff Mack or for Joe Bannister, our call-in number is 831-479-1080. And by the way, before we do start off, bravo to Dave Michaels. That was a perfect weather news and traffic report, A1 report there. Although I am worried about the box that's in the lane. I don't know what's in that box. I'm concerned about the safety of what's in the box. Could you do some research on that for us? That'd be appreciated.
It was a box full of kittens.
Oh my God.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Can you get up in the KSCO jet copter and find out what happened?
I'm on it.
So we'll get, we never know what's in those boxes out there. And as a sheriff, when they say a box, you're going, a box of what? So we don't really know. For those of you who don't know, Sheriff Richard Mack, Sheriff, why don't you tell the folks here at KSCO, a little bit about your story. You're on the cover of Time magazine this next episode here.
Well, that's not actually me on the cover, but I'm definitely in the article, and I'm part of the cover. The Secret World of Extreme Militias. And
should I be worried that you're here with me as an extreme militiaman?
Well, I've never been part of any militia group, so I guess not. But Time Magazine doesn't care about the facts or misrepresenting who I am. And so right now I have one of the top lawyers in Arizona looking at this, seeing if we're going to sue them. And I hopefully will be suing them very soon. I'm really kind of fed up with the Time Magazine propaganda schemes. They completely lied about me and what I've stood for the past 25 years. My record in law enforcement is clear. I've never in 20 years of law enforcement as a patrol officer, as a sheriff, as just running my own jail, I never once slugged another human being, never hurt anybody, never participated in violence. I've never advocated violence. In fact, when I see on YouTube the times when officers have committed violence and heinous crimes against sometimes handcuffed suspects, that sickens me, and I hate that sort of thing. And now I'm being blasted in Time Magazine about being violent.
Now, did they actually interview for that?
Yeah, they followed me around the country. But they told me it was about the Tea Party movement that I'm a part of, and I am part of the Tea Party movement, but I am not part of the militia movement in this country. I don't really have anything against the militia movement. I'm just not part of it.
All right, and why do you think they decided to do a hit piece on you?
Well, because I'm being successful in what I'm doing across the country in training sheriffs and training people all across the country of the responsibility of the sheriff to stand against federal tyranny. The ultimate line in the sand is our county sheriff. He has the responsibility, first of all, to keep his oath of office. He promised the citizens of his county when he took the job that he would uphold and defend, protect and preserve their constitutional rights. My whole thing as being part of the Oath Keeper organization, I'm on the board of directors, and I've been preaching the oath of office ever since I filed my first lawsuit against the Clinton administration back in 1994. Why swear an oath as a peace officer in this country? Why swear an oath as a sheriff if you've never read or even care about the Constitution of our great country?
So, by the way, it takes a little bit of cojones to sue the Clintons. That's not a list you want to get on.
Yes, I sued Bill Clinton and his administration. And how many times in the history of our country has a small town sheriff, or any other sheriff for that matter, sued the federal government and won a case at the United States Supreme Court?
So what exactly did you sue them for, and what did you win on?
Okay, this was the Brady Bill, and the Brady Bill was the first time.
I love that show.
No, Brady Bill.
I know. My show is a little bit farcical. Yes, I know Brady Bill. He was shot with Reagan at the time.
This was James Brady. He was shot in 1981 during the assassination attempt on Reagan, and then this bill was named for him because a very good piece of evidence or piece of history that you brought up.
And
there.
he had brain damage.
He had brain damage, and he got it the worst of any of the people in that assassination attempt, and so his wife really exploited him and tried to turn it into a gun control campaign.
Well, they used him as the poster boy for gun control.
Yeah, no question. And his wife did that, not him. And so then when the Brady Bill came out, this was the first time in U.S. history that Congress passed a law, signed into law by Bill Clinton, that commandeered the office of the sheriff for federal bidding. And with no money attached, no negotiation. We have to use our budgets, our resources, and our manpower to enforce a federal law, a federal mandate, with the first time in American history, a threat of arrest if we fail to comply.
And so it went through the court system. How far up did it go? Supreme Court?
Yes. And I'm totally shocked that that happened. But I was the first sheriff in the country to file the lawsuit. Sheriff Prince from Montana joined about a month later, and then a few other sheriffs, totaling seven. Seven of us all across the country out of like 3,100 filed this lawsuit and fight it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, where we won. And the issue was the 10th Amendment, states' rights. I said all along that the federal government has no authority, no jurisdictional power to tell me or any other sheriff what to do. The decision came out so much broader, so much deeper, and so much more powerful than I ever imagined, that they said the federal government cannot tell the sheriffs what to do. They can't tell any state official what to do. In fact, I quote this, we have held, however, that states are not subject to federal direction. The federal government has no authority to issue directives to us to address particular problems. They cannot. And on Obamacare, who do you think is going to enforce Obamacare. It's going to be the counties and states. I have proof positive in my speech tonight. I'll present this, and it's in my decision, and you can get this all on my website, sheriffmack.com. And you can see for yourself.
How do you spell Mac so they get it right?
Okay, M-A-C-K.
Okay, because some people say Mac like right. Macintosh, M-A-C.
So or like the hamburger, but this is like the truck.
There you go.
Big Mac truck.
There you go. By the way, in case you're listening in, the voice you're hearing is Arizona Sheriff Richard Mack, who sued the Clinton administration for some aspects of the Brady Bill, went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and he won on 10th Amendment state sovereignty rights.
State sovereignty. State sovereignty is the solution to what's going on in Washington, D.C.
And so, by the way, we've been very anti the national health care on this particular radio program. So that's Sheriff Richard Mack. Also with us in studio today is IRS Joe Bannister, who I've had on – well, ex, I guess. You're not working for the IRS anymore.
And I'm ex-sheriff, too.
Oh, you're ex-sheriff. Yeah. Everybody, I'm still a talk show host, but I may be ex after the show's over. I guess when you tell the IRS that they have no authority to tax people, you don't work there very much longer.
Yeah, then you're definitely a former agent rather than a current agent.
What all of them should be.
It happens that way.
So you were working happily, or you were working at least contently for the IRS for a number of years, and then something happened to make you doubt whether or not what you were doing was valid and legal.
Yes. Joe Bannister, born and raised in San Jose, right up the road, and worked for about 5.5 years for the IRS Criminal Investigation Division. About 3 years into that five-year period, I was confronted by some claims made on a talk radio show, much like yours, Corey. And this lady, this guest on the show, her name was D.V. Kidd, and D.V. was making these claims about the federal income tax system that she used the word voluntary because basically her claim was that there was an absence of a mandate of an actual statute passed by Congress and signed by a president that required the average American to pay the federal income tax. And she said this on a talk show that was hosted by somebody that was very credible. They had built a lot of credibility with me. You know, if one of your listeners had been listening to a number of years of you and they said, you know, Corey is a truthful person.
Yeah, it wouldn't be my show, but it'd be a credible show. But so, go ahead.
So, you know, the talk show host builds credibility with their audience. And so then their guests tend to also at least, you know,
transfer
that integrity. So, but this woman, the guest, was saying that the federal income tax was a scam. And here I was, an IRS criminal investigator, listening to this show and thinking to myself, okay, either I've misread this talk show host that I thought I could trust so well, or there's something to what this woman is saying about the federal income tax, and neither one of those alternatives sounded right to me. So I went ahead and started investigating these claims about the federal income tax that she made, that most Americans weren't required to pay it. And it took me about two and a half years of off-duty, part-time research. I still was working at the IRS, doing my criminal investigations, working jointly with the FBI, the DEA, the U.S. Customs Service, doing very high-level money laundering and tax investigations. But in the evenings and weekends,
I knew you looked familiar to me. No, I'm kidding. No, I've never been on.
And so during this time, I was trying to gather facts and, of course, use whatever professional skills and training that the IRS gave me that I accumulated while I was a certified public accountant, graduated from San Jose State University with a degree in accounting. So I had, you know, reasonable skills to be able to discern the truth about these matters. And contrary to my expectations, the evidence, the court cases, the statutes, the regulations, all the evidence I could gather basically supported D.V. Kidd's claim that most Americans, at least those working and living in the United States of America, are not liable to pay the federal income tax and therefore not liable to file federal income tax returns.
So you told your superiors or the people higher than you at the IRS about this, and what was their reaction?
Well, given that I was still working at the IRS and doing this on my own time, I still was thrust into this position where, wow, with this kind of information and the fact that I've taken an oath to support and defend the Constitution, not to mention my own ethics and morals, I've got a duty to speak up about this and find out maybe I've made a wrong turn somewhere. Maybe my own analysis and research was insufficient somewhere. So I did present it to my IRS supervisors, you know, working there at the San Jose IRS office, and I did when I presented the information, I said to them, look, if you can't assist me in determining where I've gone wrong, if at all, I'm going to have to resign because I can't serve two masters here. I mean, all the evidence indicates that this agency is lying to the public and that they're basically breaking the law. And given my oath to support and defend the Constitution, I'd be breaking the law if I kept silent about this. So please help me understand, you know, why I've come to this conclusion. And their answer to me was that we're not going to answer any of your questions, and we're going to provide you with the paperwork necessary to tender your resignation. And they immediately sent me home for 7 days of administrative leave and basically left the ball in my court as to what I was supposed was going to do. They didn't fire me, but they sent me home, took my firearm, and then gave me some time to think about it. And as I was thinking about it during that week of time, I basically realized that, you know, I've read a lot about this agency and what they can do to people's reputations, not to mention their bank accounts and their homes. And if I stick around here, I believe my reputation's going to be put down the toilet. So I decided to resign and keep my reputation intact so that if I had to speak up about this as a private person, somebody might believe me.
So what do you do now besides, I know you resigned from the IRS. What do you do now besides what we're doing right now, which is making your point of view and information known?
Basically a forensic accountant, reconstructive accounting, much like an IRS agent would do when they're investigating someone. But there's a need for that, whether it be in civil litigation
right.
between, you know, business partners
or divorces.
Divorces,
or, yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
Or people with IRS problems.
By the way, we're at 831-479-1080. So you work for the IRS, and they said, you said to them, I don't see where we have the authority to do taxation. And they basically said, turn in your gun, and it'd be kind of nice if you didn't show up here anymore.
Right. And I mean, you know, this was all behind closed doors, not because I was trying to keep it secret from anybody, but this was an internal matter. And I thought that they may have been hesitant to answer me. However, all the people that I presented my information to also took an oath to support and defend the Constitution. They were all under the same ethical duties, treasury duties that I was. And so I figured even if they were hesitant to address these issues, they had a duty just like I did, and they decided to shirk that duty and show me the door.
Now, as an ex-IRS agent, if somebody used that as a defense, and I'm not, by the way, don't take this show as legal advice because we're not lawyers here and we're just simply having a conversation. But if somebody was to go to the IRS and say, I don't have a duty to pay you because it's not constitutional, what would happen to them?
Well, if they go in just to the taxpayer service window and ask the question, if they haven't given their name or anything, they'll probably get a kick out of the commotion that will be started. But if the IRS knows your name and your address and you ask them that kind of question, they're going to probably start a harassment campaign against you.
Really?
Yeah. They're a nasty agency, and they've had, you know, decades to polish their nastiness and grow their bag of dirty tricks. So I'm not saying I think people should learn this information. Fortunately, we're still in a country, I don't know how much longer it's going to last, where you can learn about things. You know, with the Patriot Act, you can't go into a library now without them knowing what you're reading and things like that. I would encourage people to learn about this issue, the fact that the IRS and the federal government has been deceiving the public out of their hard-earned money at least since World War II.
By the way, this is Dr. Corey Golds, KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1080. Our phone number here to talk to our guest, ex-Arizona Sheriff Richard Mack and ex-IRS agent Joe Bannister, current talk show host Dr. Corey Gold. Let's take one phone call first before we go to break. Gary from Seaside. Gary, welcome.
Hey, great show, and the last hour was good, too. I thought it was interesting that beginning this hour, the sheriff mentioned states' rights. And at the top of the hour, when you went into the news, Fox News reported that that Homeland Security has now scooped up our local police. And it was hard to tell the ending of the Alex Jones hour.
Gary, what do you mean scooped up our police?
Well, they basically said that our local police will now be under the guidance of the basically of Homeland Security, and that they will be fighting terror on a national level.
So now that you're saying that the local police is now reports to the federal agencies.
That's what the That's what it sounded like to me, and it was pretty appalling in terms of how it made a statement and rung true again when Sheriff Richard Mack said what he said about states' rights, because states' rights is under attack, I believe, via Homeland Security as well. I really appreciate this conversation, especially also with the other guest there in terms of our 16th Amendment and how it was never ratified and that whole subject. And that's why I'm a Ron Paul fan. And I just wish we had done a little more work to.
Gary, does Ron Paul advocate no income tax?
Absolutely. When I came to that was what pulled me into Ron Paul's camp was when he was asked by one of the talking heads on CNN or someplace when he was being interviewed after one of the debates, and she says, "We understand, Ron Paul, that you would abolish the IRS. Is that true, sir?" And he squared and looked into the camera intently and said, "Immediately." And I was that was it. You know, I am aware of the situation in terms of the 16th Amendment for a long time.
If I could add his quote is this. This is Ron Paul's quote. "I would abolish the federal income tax. I would abolish the IRS and replace them with nothing."
That's right.
I totally agree with
that. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, Gary.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you. So what would his plan be to capitalize the nation? Is it tariffs? Is it some kind of value tax? How does he plan to run the government then?
If you run the government according to the Constitution economically, you don't need all this corrupt money going into Washington, D.C., where they take for every $100, for instance, from the state of California that we send to Washington, D.C. for education dollars, they send us back about $5.
Now, I always like
that's
it.
That's ridiculous.
I always like it when the school sends – I have two children in school, and they always tell us, "We receive federal matching funds."
Oh,
it's just
goody.
Like, I sent my money to Washington so they can take credit for giving it back to my
exactly.
local school. Isn't that great? I said,
exactly.
How many layers of people had to open that mail to get it back to me? So I pay my taxes on time. I do a nice job of doing that. By the way, my mom is an enrolled agent before the IRS. Never lost a case. Always good.
If we got rid of all the superfluous and stupid agencies in Washington, D.C., we would need to be sending all this money in the first place. We're just paying for our own slavery.
But I like how they tell us, you can only have your matching funds if you do these 16 things.
Exactly.
So you can we'll send us your money. Mm-hmm. We'll be happy to give you a portion back, but only if you do what we want you to do.
Right.
Then we'll give you your portion back. And everybody goes, "Oh, my God, how exciting. We got federal matching funds."
Right.
And I said, "My God, that's our money."
Right.
We're getting part
of
our
money. Leave
your money
back here in California. Stop sending it to Washington, D.C., and you need some local officials that have the cojones of Joe Bannister. Keep your oath of office. Keep your money here. Exercise state sovereignty and become independent.
Now, one of the things that people are listening might be thinking, well, that's great. I'll be paying less money to function our society. The reality is that the state would then have probably to tax more, the county have to tax more because
no.
it need, you don't think so?
No. They, you're not going to be wasting it in Washington, D.C.
Well, I agree with that portion, but a lot of the money that goes to, quote-unquote, federal programs, states and other areas are going to have to pick up some of the programs that are being dropped
well,
then.
Well, look at two.
But it'll be a local issue.
It'll be a local issue.
The Department of Energy.
Right.
We spend $26 billion a year for them to waste time trying to get us off foreign oil, and since we developed that agency in 1977, we actually had 30%
then. Was that
then,
Jimmy Carter?
We have 70% now under Jimmy Carter.
Oh, Jimmy Carter.
And we spend $26 billion a year on that. If we stop that, we're going to have more money to spend on programs here.
Jimmy Carter, and everybody knows how I feel about Jimmy Carter, was the worst president ever. And I still feel that way, even with the current administration, that Jimmy Carter still is hard to top. But we're going to see how it winds out.
I think Obama's done it.
We'll see. He's not through yet. So he can still top Jimmy Carter. By the way, we're at 831-479-1080. Right back after this. If you have questions for Sheriff Richard Mack or Joe Bannister, thanks for listening into KSEO.
Yeah.
As the days get shorter, the list of things you need to do to get your yard ready for winter seems to be getting longer. Bagging, mulching, aerating. Well, the first thing that should be at the top of your to-do list is visiting your local John Deere dealer. They have all the equipment and attachments you need to tackle all your outdoor projects, like John Deere Select Series lawn tractors with dozens of attachments. Gator utility vehicles, perfect for work and play. And compact utility tractors when you have a larger piece of property to tackle. And now, as you gear up for fall, you can take advantage of some of the best deals of the season, including great financing options. So while the leaves may be turning orange and brown, the best way to clean up this fall is still green and yellow. Come into your local John Deere dealer and take a test drive today. You'll see for yourself that no matter what the season, nothing runs like a deer. For details on savings and financing options, visit Pringle Tractor, your local John Deere dealer. Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas, or online at PringleTractor.com. All right, we know you want the coolest Halloween costume you can find, right? But are you tired of wasting your hard-earned money on just one night? Well, J&S Surplus and Outdoor Store is the place to shop for Halloween costumes that you can wear all year long. That's right. It's the place to shop for wild and crazy costumes that you can still use for work, camping, fun, and a whole lot more well after Halloween is long gone. Visit the free haunted graveyard and pumpkin patch at J&S Surplus and Outdoor Store, but be aware of the ghouls and ghosts that lurk there. It's open now and runs through Halloween night. J&S is your one-stop Halloween headquarters, open every day. It all happens right on Highway 1 in Moss Landing. Just look for the pirate flags outside, or for more information and savings coupons, go online to www.surplusinc.com. J&S Surplus and Outdoor Store for all your Halloween costume needs and much more.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of our walls? JM Electric knows. I'm Charlie Friedman. Fact is, we can't see what electrical evils lurk in our walls, and those evils cause about 68,000 home fires every year. I got to thinking about the evils that might be lurking in my walls and what a fire would do to my collection of 78 records, so I called JM Electric and asked for a current safe home inspection service. That was a good call. Tom from JM Electric used some high-tech equipment to conduct an incredibly thorough inspection of all my electrical systems. He actually looked inside the walls and showed me pictures of where I'm vulnerable. Thanks to JM Electric, I know there are now no electrical evils lurking in my walls, and that knowledge is worth about $1 million in sound sleep. Discover what kind of electrical evils are lurking in your walls. Call JM Electric in Salinas. Ask for a free, no-obligation electrical hazard assessment. That's JM Electric, 422-7819, or jmelectric.com.
Tune in to the Sentinel radio program this evening at 7 p.m. right here on AM 1080 KSCO. Brought to you by First Church of Christ Scientist Monterey. Come into our Christian Science Community reading room and bookstore and find comfort from the challenges you're facing. We have the resources that will connect you with your God-given substance. Find help now. Our address is 780 Abrego Street in Monterey. Reach out for this help today. Come in and visit or call 831-372-5076. 372-5076.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening in. Dr. Corey Gold, glad to be with you at KSCO Santa Cruz today. Also, thank you for listening on the internet at KSCO.com to our live and free stream there. It's about 34 minutes after the hour. It's a beautiful Monday afternoon. We were so excited to have in studios with us the last hour, Alex Jones. Alex did a phenomenal four-hour presentation yesterday. I was exhausted listening to it. I don't know how he did it. And then he came in today and did his three-hour live show for the national feed, spent an hour with me on the radio, and now he's going to do another three-hour show today. Whatever he's taking, I want. And two of the gentlemen who were also presenting last night, as part of our presentation. By the way, we're doing another presentation to another sold-out crowd at the Coconut Grove. So 800 people last night. 800 people tonight. And by the way, props to Rosie over there for doing such a great job with crowd control and with getting people in and out and everybody having a good time. And actually, people were smiling at each other through that crowd. It was pretty interesting. And I got to tell you, it was a very diverse group of people who yes. came to see Alex Jones.
Yeah.
And I think if you ask the average person who would have a mindset of who would be an Alex Jones follower, they'd be surprised to find out that there were college kids in there, mm-hmm. that there were senior citizens in there, that there were parents with their kids in there, that there were people from other parts of the state, there were Republicans, there were Democrats, there
teachers,
were people,
lawyers,
you name it. It was a very diverse group
police
of people.
Police officers.
Mm-hmm. Police officers. Mm-hmm. And if Alex Jones is correct, some FBI agents. That was pretty scary when he said that from the stage.
Yeah, they're probably there.
It's pretty typical.
By the way, with me in the studio today, I'm happy to have ex-Arizona Sheriff Richard Mack, who's famous for suing Bill Clinton and not only surviving it, but for winning the lawsuit in the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And ex-IRS agent Joe Bannister, who also went before the IRS and said, could you tell me what under what authority we have to actually go into people's homes and audit them and to – I find it amazing that they can come into anybody who's listening's home and say, show us everything that you've done in the last year, every stick of paper for everything that you're claiming.
Yeah.
Yet we have this whole group called the Federal Reserve that actually prints money for the entire country with our name and our guarantee on it.
Right.
And we can't know what happens over there,
right.
but they can come into our house. And little insignificant people. I mean, I don't mean we're insignificant to God. We're all significant to our neighbors and our families. We're significant. But in the big picture of 315 million people, we're just one of many.
Well, and to the government, we're all peasants and subjects, and that's how we are treated. And that's what you're alluding to. In my book, I put that the real enemy – in my book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, that you can get at my website, sheriffmack.com, is plain and simply this. The real enemy, and I talk about the Gestapo of America, and that's the IRS. And not only that, this is what you just said. I've put in perspective like this. We are required by the federal government to keep track of ourselves financially. And if you lose a tiny little receipt that isn't any bigger than your thumb, if you lose that receipt, then you're disqualified from that, and they'll discount your deduction. And so basically it's this: if you don't keep track of yourself financially for them good enough, they'll throw you in jail.
I am very lucky. I'm married to a CPA who's an anal retentive CPA. Every time I walk in the house, she goes to my wallet for every receipt there is, and it's like, I wonder if she doesn't trust me or she's just such an anal retentive IRS.
I need my wife doing.
Oh my God, she's like, everything's on a chart, everything's on a flow sheet. If I go buy something, you had $2 more and you left. Yeah, I had a taco for lunch.
She sees you chewing gum and says, "Where'd you buy that?"
Exactly. It's my wife, but it's okay. I love my wife, so there's nothing I would want her to know. But you have that mentality in our household that we really have to be accountable because somebody might come and ask you to be accountable. And yet I get angry because when we ask, you know, me as an individual citizen says, what's going on in the federal government? What's going on at the Federal Reserve System? Can we please audit them? Because ultimately,
oh, no.
we're responsible for that money.
Well, they won't audit the Federal Reserve, who's in charge of all this. Since 1913, the Federal Reserve has never been audited. The United States Congress just voted not to audit the Federal Reserve, but we get randomly audited as peasants and as citizens of this country.
And a lot of people think that because in a criminal law situation you're innocent until proven guilty, it's not that way in front of an IRS investigation.
No.
You have to prove everything. They don't have to disprove. You have to prove.
Right.
Which is kind of a frightening thought because I know most of my friends out there, they're so busy just trying to exist that they don't keep track of things. They do their very best in filling out their taxes. I believe they're honest people, and they believe that they should pay their fair share, whatever in their mind that means, and they do pay what the paper says. Mm-hmm. But if you had to come up to them and say, can you account for everything, they'd be going, in all honesty, I did my best, but I mean, I'm so busy just trying to exist in the system.
Yeah, well, people don't realize how exposed they are in just that scenario that you're talking about. You know, Americans by the millions, by the tens of millions, are if they just get a call from the IRS, no wonder they're so afraid, because the IRS can rock their world and disallow their deductions, and they don't even have proof of their deductions, or at least proof up to the standard that the IRS requires, because they don't even know what that standard is. And so if the IRS just decides to get contact with them, their economic life just might be over. So it's a great way to hold sway over the American people. It's a great tool.
By the way, this is KSCO. We're at 831-479-1080 if you have any calls in for our guests. Got a question for you. You know, you work for the IRS. You're a wonderfully nice guy. You have a great smile on your face. You're a happy person. I've got to imagine you were that way when you worked there, too.
Yes.
And I got to imagine, so if you work there, there's other people like you working there, which are nice, great people who are just doing their job on a day-to-day basis. So how they don't seem to fit that model. Like, you don't fit the model of scary IRS person. Is that another group of people, the scary folk? I mean, because you're not scary.
No, they're the same way. I guess the difference between me and my former coworkers, though, is that I'm not willing to just do my job if I can tell that my job is helping the government to steal from my fellow Americans. And unfortunately, there seems to be a lot of people out there, a lot of government servants, a lot of good ones, but let's face it, there's a lot of government servants who are put in a position to do something that their boss is telling them to do or their policy is telling them to do, but it's actually unconstitutional, illegal, or at least questionable. And yet they don't seem to question it because they're more worried about their pension and their paycheck. And I was worried about those things too, pensions and paychecks. But ultimately I had to decide, you know, which am I going to choose? My ethics, my morals, my integrity, or my pension and paycheck? And I had to make that choice. And I didn't go with the paycheck and pension, obviously. That's why I'm X.
Now, do you believe that a certain percentage of people with IRS know what they're doing isn't constitutional, or do you think that most people, like, when you say that, they go, yeah, that's a crazy Joe guy. He says it's not constitutional, but we know better?
I think the IRS agents, there's probably 100 to 120,000 IRS employees, okay? And I think that they really reflect America, which means most of them are just apathetic. They just do their job, they get their paycheck, and then they want to go on vacation, please their spouses, watch their kids play soccer. And they're just apathetic. They won't take that extra time to even look into it. And then a few that might look into it, unfortunately, will go, uh-oh, if I speak up about this, I'll end up like Joe Bannister.
I'll lose my job.
So I think it's really just like America. And unfortunately, there aren't enough Americans, going back to what we were talking about earlier that Richard mentioned, this double standard where the government is not accountable and all the people are is completely upside down. And okay, it may have been upside down for a while, but then shouldn't the American people stand up and say, wait a second, being upside down in this accountability game mm-hmm. isn't the way the Constitution is written. But there aren't enough Americans that seem to care about that, and so we're going to continue to be in this upside down world forever until some Americans wake up and realize we the people have that opportunity to write things back up, and so that the government is accountable to the people rather than the other way around.
And do you think that's where, like, the Tea Party is coming up from, this ground? Because people think that the Tea Party is a monolithic organization, and it's not. And it's not a movement that has a leader. It's kind of like this gigantic simultaneous, hey, this is not right. And then the guy next to him saying, hey, this is not right. Hey, this is not right. We're not all sure we have the same idea of what's not right, but we know something's not right.
Right.
And it's almost amorphous at this point, which makes it to some degree beautiful in a sense that it is organically growing. It's not like somebody leading it and there's some big funding agency to it. I think it's really interesting to see, because when people call me, oh, racists are all – I'm going, I'm a Tea Party person. I'm not racist at all. I just don't like the way the government's working in some ways. I think that defines the Tea Party, which is, wait a second, we know something's not working right. The current two-party system is not serving us at all. And we're confused as to where to go. So we're kind of glomming together in this happy, peaceful, we as a group of people, nonviolent protesting group, can get together and let our voices be heard. Got a couple calls coming in. Let's see. We'll start off with Jay in Salinas wants to ask a question. Jay, welcome.
Yeah. How you doing, Corey?
Doing great.
Okay, I just about Joe. And you're talking about the IRS and, how they, are not accountable, but we are. Okay, I mean, we need to do something about the Democrats and the Republicans spending our money illegally for campaign and everything else. But yet, we're a day late and they want to, taxes and, fine us and everything else. I mean, isn't that illegal?
Well, yeah, but you even look at the Geithner, who's in charge of the Department of Treasury and in charge of the IRS. He's a tax evader. And this government doesn't care. There is no moral integrity within the federal government. And they don't care if they break the law or come after us. And just like Joe was saying, it's completely upside down. It's completely backwards. And who is victimized by that scheme? It's the American people. And the answer, quite frankly, is local officials having the guts and the moral courage to stand against the incursions of the federal government and of all governments and to follow the Constitution. And if we follow the Constitution at a local level, we're going to get our freedom back tomorrow.
And I think I would like to build on what Corey said about the Tea Party being an organic movement. The fact that I believe we need to spend our time growing our numbers to critical mass. If we spend our time concentrating on campaign finance reform or, you know, one single issue, those issues are important. But if we spend our time doing that rather than growing our numbers and educating our fellow Americans, I think we're wasting our time.
Jay, thank you very much for the phone call. We've got to Jeff in Santa Cruz. Jeff, welcome.
Hey, Corey. Hey, I was curious. Do you think the apathy comes from the fact that, you know, I believe it's close to like 45% of Americans don't even pay federal income tax, and so.
But you mean they don't pay? They don't pay it because their current income is too low to rise to the threshold of paying an additional tax.
Exactly. Okay. And so then they're less, you know, they're less affected by it, you know.
Well, I think there's quite a large percentage of procrastinators. You know, life is busy, and most of us are on this gerbil wheel thanks to the Federal Reserve and inflation.
That's how I stay in shape, the gerbil wheel.
So I don't mean to castigate, you know, Americans out there for be do nothings, because we're all, you know, struggling to survive. And that's part of the problem. You know, they put us on this gerbil wheel so we don't have time.
You'd think we'd be in better shape, though. We're getting more obese, but we're on the gerbil wheel all the time.
Yeah, but, you know, when you're chasing your tail all the time, you get a little dizzy.
There you go.
Hey, well, is that an indication, you know, like Geithner doing his own taxes on TurboTax? Is that an indication of how seriously these guys take taxes? Like, if, you know, this guy is obviously not taking it too seriously, because how can the Secretary of Treasury, like, how can he do his own taxes?
He had Charlie Rangel help him out with taxes. That's the problem. That's a question. Never ask Charlie Rangel for tax advice.
I think about the double standard, though. If somebody, you're in line at McDonald's, okay, and somebody cuts in line, you're going to have a riot. If somebody cuts you off on the freeway, people get extremely incensed about that. But if the Federal Reserve has never been audited in all these years, and all your fellow Americans get audited all the time, but nobody, there's not any real cacophony of complaint. Now, it's starting to arise thanks to the recent years and Ron Paul. But again, the double standard really makes me sick, and I want to do something about it. I hope some Americans will join me.
Thank you, Jeff.
You bet.
Appreciate it. Go out to Jason in Watsonville. Jason, welcome.
Well, I'm ready to join you. this was a great show. Well,
come to the event tonight.
Well, I was there last night. I might go tonight, but you know, I this is a great show. Thanks, Corey Gold, for having Joe Bannister and Sheriff Richard Mack on today. It's so important to have this information out. And, you know, I've been following the income tax issue for about 10 years and, researched Joe Bannister's materials. And, you know, what Joe is saying is right. I mean, I have been asking the IRS myself for the last 10 years, you know, where in the tax law requires me and the rest of Americans paying income tax. And
what have they written back to you?
Oh, well, that's incredible. Every time I write the IRS a letter, or like they demand money from me, I ask the IRS, okay, I'm willing to pay whatever you say I owe, as long as you can show me where in the law requires me to pay an income tax. And every time they either don't respond at all, or when they do respond, they will say, oh, we've heard of these type of questions before. These questions are frivolous, and we will not respond to any type of question like this in the future. And also, I went to an IRS.
That's how my, by the way, that's how my teenager answers me when I ask her questions. I've heard this question before. Yeah. It's frivolous. We're not going over it again.
Where were you last night and why were you late? That's frivolous.
It's a frivolous question. I've answered it before. Move on. Sounds like an Obama press conference. There's your birth certificate. This is, what do you mean be a citizen? I've answered this before. It's the perfect. He got it from the IRS. Now we know.
Yeah, they wrote the book.
Joe will probably agree with me. That is the IRS's favorite answer. Your question regarding, you know, the tax law is frivolous. All it is a question, and I actually went to an IRS audit, and I was really, really, really excited and curious to find out, to meet these guys face-to-face. And they were interested in meeting me and whatever. I said, okay, I'm not afraid. Let's meet. And I met with them at the San Jose office, at the IRS office right there in San Jose, and I told those two revenue agents, I said the same thing. I said, hey, you know, you guys want to do this big investigation on me. Let's just cut to the chase. That you want me to pay this money. I will pay you every dime that you say I owe if you can show me right here and now the law that requires me to pay the tax.
So what happened? What cut to the bottom line? What happened?
Neither one of them could show me the law.
No, but what happened to you ultimately? Are they still pursuing you? Have they left you alone? Are they criminal investigation? What's happening?
Oh, well, it's called a collection due process hearing. So during that time, the IRS cannot do any kind of liens or levies. It's basically going through tax court and disputing that. And so that's basically what I'm going through right now.
Joe, ultimately, when they start putting these proceedings against somebody, tax court, and the last court I've been was night court with Richard Mall. That's all I know is night court. So I don't know anything about this. So what kind of steps is he about to go into?
Well, Jason sounds like somebody who knows what he's doing, and unfortunately, most Americans don't. And again, I'm not denigrating them. I'm just saying.
I don't.
It's difficult to learn. You've got your own walk of life. You've got your own career. And then all of a sudden you have to spend all these hours every week learning about the tax law, learning about IRS procedures. So I would encourage more people to learn.
Does he need to hire somebody to defend him? What does he need to do? Because it sounds pretty spooky at this point.
No, Jason sounds to me like somebody who he's not afraid. Okay, if you lose the fear, that is a huge step forward just right there. And you think about it, most people are fearful. So if you lose that fear, then you start asking questions. The next thing, of course, you should be thinking about is asset protection and making sure that they can't really reach out and harm you. And that's difficult but not impossible. So basically, I would just encourage people to be more like Jason. Actually learn more about it. It's not impossible. A lot of this information is available on the internet.
But if a person doesn't have a lot, let's say, I'm not saying Jason, I don't know Jason's circumstances. A person doesn't have a big portfolio. I know I have a manila folder. I don't have a portfolio. I don't even know if I even have a folder. I have a sheet of paper, a plain piece of paper with a few notes on it. So the average person doesn't have all these resources. When they get into his situation, Jason says, I'm going to fight this because I don't believe it's honest and true. How does one protect themselves? Because they can't hire people to go give them fancy advice.
Right. I mean,
where's ultimately this going to lead to him? Because the IRS has been down this dance before.
Yeah, but I think, Jason sounds like he's probably got things in hand. But, I mean, the IRS is heavy-handed. Most people, my advice is don't take on the IRS. Don't rile them until you've done your homework. Go ahead and do your homework. If it takes you a year, 3 years, 5 years, meanwhile, do what the IRS.
That's the manage. Same advice I give to anybody with my children, with my wife. Never rile her. Always look her straight in the eye, bow your head, walk away slowly, and never provoke her.
Yeah, and then
that works.
And then live to fight another day.
Right.
All right. Hey, Jason, good luck. Tell me, call back later after you've gone through all this and tell us how it turns out.
Okay, I will.
And make me your first phone call from jail, okay?
No, I'm not going there.
He's not going.
All right, Jason.
I'm not going there. Never.
I hope not, Jason. Take care, my friend.
All right, bye-bye.
Everybody knows on the show I'm a little bit flippant with people. All right, Pete, what is up, man?
Yeah, I had a question, for the sheriff. I just came back from Pima County over there, Casa Grande area.
Okay.
And, I was never targeted by the sheriff there for being a Mexican. You know, how happened to all the, because they passed that Arizona law, I thought I was going to be harassed and all this and that.
Yeah, that's
and actually, I felt real comfortable because I was with my cousin, and And Arizona's got a gun carrying permit type of deal, and I felt real comfortable walking around with him at night.
Yeah, I tell you what, the media has blown all of that out of proportion. I have children who live in Tucson. I have Hispanic friends all over the state. They've never been harassed. That's actually a lie and propaganda scheme going along. The cops in Arizona do not want to break your constitutional rights in such a manner. They have to have, the law even says they have to have another legitimate reason, a legal reason to approach you. They can't just go up and start checking everybody. And I've told everybody everywhere, if I'm leaving the Phoenix Suns game, and because I'm dark-complected, they want to know if I'm from Argentina or something else, or from Mexico City, I'm going to tell them to shove off and leave me alone. And that's exactly what you should do, or anybody else, if you ever are approached in that manner. If they don't have a legitimate reason or probable cause to be approaching you on something else, they have to leave you alone. And I'm glad you called. That's a great point you're making.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Pete, let's head off to John in Carmel. John, welcome.
Hey, Corey, good to talk to you. On that last thing that the gentleman just said, it's best to ask them, are you trying to usurp my constitutional rights? I've had it happen to me before. The other thing is how the IRS gets away with that. I had a very dear friend that was, you know, said it isn't in the Constitution, which it isn't. What happened was Franklin Roosevelt signed a temporary act, and that's what they based it on. And if you have any assets, what they do is they freeze them, and they just delay, and basically with all your assets frozen, if you have nothing, they're not going to bother with you. And he's this friend of mine. It took him 15 years to get a trial date. He wanted a jury trial, and then he got it, and then they backed down on it. But again, everything was frozen, and it caused him a lot of problems.
All right, John. Thank you for the story.
You got it. Bye.
Let's go to Nancy and Carmel. Nancy, welcome.
Hey there.
Hey.
Saw you last night.
I'm sorry I disappointed you. I should have dressed up a little bit.
No, well, at least I know what you look like now.
Okay, I see. I burst your bubble right away.
He's a good-looking son of a gun, isn't he?
Funny sounding.
That's why I'm on radio.
Couple things. First of all, that law in Arizona, everybody has it wrong. It's only if you are arrested. Nobody ever says that. And that's the way the law has always been.
Let's go over to Sheriff Mac. Mac, what does the law say?
It doesn't necessarily say arrested. It has to mean that the officer has a legitimate reason to be discussing a problem with you.
For instance, kind of like being arrested.
It has to be probable cause. He has to have probable cause.
Right.
For instance, a traffic violation. That is probable cause.
Okay, what's that
cause.
Called? Detained, whatever the word is.
Detained is it.
Okay.
Detained.
Yeah, but everybody thinks it's like, oh, he can go up to you while you're at the 7-Eleven buying a Slurpee. They can't do
that. He cannot do that. They couldn't do it before that law, and they can't do it since.
Okay, the other thing was...
And illegal aliens don't drink Slurpee, so that would be right out right away.
All right, the Jalisco then, or whatever it is.
I'm just kidding. I don't know. They probably do drink Slurpees. Don't ever take me seriously, Nancy.
Well, I don't.
She's answering me seriously.
That's why I call you. Okay. The other reason I called was to tell you that there's always been a totally unlevel playing field regarding income tax with people who have legitimate businesses and brick and mortars versus internet businesses.
Yeah.
They don't pay income tax.
What do you mean? They don't pay sales tax.
They don't pay income tax because there's
no storefront
audit. In other words, like if I have
I imagine Google pays a little bit of tax. I only know 2.4%.
No, I mean if you're online as a seller.
Oh, if you're a seller, but you technically you have an authority to report any income you have.
Well, hello, try to get it enforced. I mean, there's billions of dollars out there that's not being paid.
Oh no, I'm not saying that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, but you're told by the government that whenever you earn income, you're supposed to report it on your taxes.
But why don't they ever go after internet sites then? Make money.
I don't know.
I'd like to stop that kind of thinking altogether because if we're always looking at they're not going after my neighbor, they shouldn't be going after anybody that doesn't actually owe the tax.
And my neighbors need to be gone after for sure. Especially Craig if he's listening.
All right. I just wanted to bring that up if everyone is being treated as wrongly, half the people out there doing business are not, because they're not paying the tax to begin with.
All right, Nancy. Nancy, we're almost done with the show. I appreciate it. What she's saying is some people are being persecuted more than others, and she wants everybody to be persecuted evenly. If I could paraphrase her. By the way, thanks for coming in today. Arizona Sheriff Richard Mack, IRS ex-agent Joe Bannister with us today. We'll have him back again. Appreciate that. They'll be tonight with Alex Jones, Coconut Grove, guest of KSCO Santa Cruz. Thanks for listening in. We'll be back right after Fox News.
With Shepard Smith.
It was supposed to be the Obama administration's first war crimes trial, but a Guantanamo Bay detainee just put a stop to it. He pleaded guilty.
Omar Khadr, a Canadian national, was just 15 years old when he was captured during a firefight at an Al-Qaeda camp 8 years ago. Today, he pleaded guilty to 5 terror charges, including throwing a hand grenade that killed Army Sergeant Christopher Speer. His attorneys hope the guilty plea spares the Canadian a life sentence. In Washington, Jared Alpern, Fox News Radio.
Just 9 days left, or make it 8 now, for candidates to win votes or change voters' minds.
Nonstop campaigning around the nation as a new Associated Press poll shows a third of voters are undecided. And those who have decided say they could very well change their minds before November. November 2nd.
Fox News Radio's Todd Starnes. President Obama is in Rhode Island, where Democrats hold 2 fundraisers tonight. A Florida girl who drew national attention for hiccups she couldn't get rid of is back in the spotlight, and this time in big trouble. She's a suspect in a murder case. Fox News Radio's Eben Brown, live in Miami.
Shep, Jennifer Mee was that St. Petersburg, Florida girl who hiccuped for 5 weeks straight, earning her spots on all the morning news shows. She's now accused of being part of a small group that lured a teen man into being robbed and killed. Her mom says it can't be.
Knowing Jennifer the way I know her, I don't think that she knew what was going to happen.
Speaking on our affiliate, WFLA in Tampa, but Jennifer, who is now 19, has already confessed, Shep.
Eben, trucks and buses would have to use less gas beginning in 2014 under new fuel efficiency standards rolled out today. The EPA administrator says the new standards would save billions of dollars and pay for themselves. Critics say they'll make trucks more expensive. On Wall Street, the Dow up 31, the Nasdaq up 11, and you're up to date. On the Fox Report, fair and balanced.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior. But for some reason, you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child. And the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable. And it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-259-9732. 1-800-259-9732. That's 1-800-259-9732. 1-800-259-9732.
Opening statements are underway at the Chandra Levy murder trial, nearly a decade after the congressional intern disappeared.
The trial is expected to last about a month as the jury of 12 women and 4 men, which includes 4 alternates, hear the case for and against Ingmar Guandique. The El Salvadoran faces charges of murder and attempted sexual assault, and faces life in prison if he's convicted.
Fox News Radio's Jill Nato in Washington. Chandra Levy was romantically linked to then-California Congressman Gary Condit, who was once a suspect. Prosecutors say Guadagnique confessed to the cellmates while serving time for attacking other young women in the D.C. area where Levy was killed. What killed an American swimmer during a weekend race at the United Arab Emirates? The body of Fran Crippen was found after he failed to finish the 10-kilometer race. One theory is the water was too warm.
If the water's too warm and too salty, your dehydration level goes up so much faster.
Richard Schoelberg is a former swim coach. Crippen was a member of the U.S. national swim team. The Fed takes closer look now at the foreclosure paperwork mess.
The federal banking agencies are working together to complete an in-depth review of practices
at the largest mortgage servicing operation.
Fed Chief Ben Bernanke says they want to know if systemic weakness is leading to improper foreclosures. Attorney generals nationwide also investigating. The world's biggest solar power plant poised for federal approval in the California desert. Officials say an announcement is coming soon. It's official. Nothing is sacred. Snow days may soon be a thing of the past.
The state of Ohio has reduced our number of calamity days from 5 to 3 this year.
So officials in one district in rural Ohio, the Mississinawa Valley School District, will start using the internet to teach kids at home instead of canceling school when the weather's bad. They plan to test it out this winter. So they don't sled, they don't build snowmen, they go to school on the internet. Good luck. Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You've got it tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Monday, October 25th, 2010. I'm Dave Michaels with traffic and weather for you. There we go. Your KSCO weather forecast for tonight is for mostly clear conditions with lows in the mid-40s to lower 50s along with northwest winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Your forecast for tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs in the 60s along with southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour once again. And your boaters forecast for tonight, northwest winds 10 to 20 knots, decreasing to 10 knots after midnight. Wind waves 2 to 4 feet and west swells 5 to 7 feet every 14 seconds. Now we're going to move on to traffic, starting off with a live look at the Fishhook. Traffic there moving at the limit in both directions in the Santa Cruz area, Santa Cruz County anyways. Buena Vista Drive at Harkin Slough Road, a traffic hazard reported at 154. This is a tree down across the roadway, and looks like county road crews are on their way out there to check that out. Just outside of Salinas, West Blanco Road at Hitchcock Road, a traffic